Just watch, be aware of what is going on. How the past and the life that you are experiencing may not be yours. It is definitely something worth looking. Sometimes it is like being a watcher outside of the event.
So this would be similar to the one time I took somebody back to a past life, but in between the two lives, she hooked into the Kent State massacre.
Yes.
And suddenly was seeing the whole Kent State thing from the eyes of someone who was looking over one of the girls who was dead.
Correct.
Is that because it would make such an impression on the group consciousness?
Certainly. It was a horrific event.
Right.
Who was the person that you regress?
An old girlfriend long ago.
Okay. It is possible that she had been fascinated by the Kent State massacre.
Okay.
And that she had some unanswerable questions that she wanted to answer.
Ah, okay.
This is the best way to tap in to the group consciousness, to relive a moment in time that you wish to have a question answered.
Mm.
If your guides do not see it beneficial to you, they will not help. You may end up looking at something totally different. If they agree and consent to help you on that past life, then you may learn a lot.
So that's applicable to many situations throughout Earth's history.
Correct.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to see, for example, you didn't live through, let's say, the French Napoleonic Wars, but something, a period that really fascinates you, especially one battle in particular.
Correct.
Then you would ask your guides for assistance to relive that battle.
But why would you wish to see horror again?
Well, I suppose that if there is some learning that can be gained from it.
Correct.
I'm not sure what, but I'm not in that life.
Correct.
And we do learn from when we go through our own past lives, the horror of our own deaths is actually just a release into the next step.
Right.
And we get over the horror that way. So perhaps witnessing the horror of war allows us to see war from its higher perspective, which is,
possibility.
It is a possibility?
For helping to grow.
Oh, yes.
Okay, next question.
All right. Now, you spoke on the different consciousness types between cats and blue jays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This, I would assume, also fits along with consciousness between individual humans.
Right.
Some humans have more consciousness and the ability to use that consciousness wisely,
mm-hmm.
and others use it merely for just to exist.
Right. Okay, here is a good example.
Okay.
We have this little one. I believe this is Mongo.
That's Mongo, right.
Okay. We have the noisy one over there.
Ugly.
Okay. Which one is more aware?
A Mongi by a long shot.
Correct. Why?
Mongi is content wherever he happens, where she happens to be at.
Mm-hmm.
She needs not, knowing that she will get when it, she does need. And isn't existing strictly on...
Demand. Whereas that one
is living on its stomach.
Yes. Instinctual.
Correct.
This one lives on thought.
Good point.
And this one lives on spiritual growth. This one lives on a whim.
Right. So
he is aware. This one is aware. This one is sentient. This one is not.
Oh, I see.
This one is borderline a sentient. Never mind.
Sentient.
This one is borderline not, because of instinctual activity and thoughtful activity.
Now, the only difference there is that Mongi there doesn't plan.
You don't think so?
I can't see it.
We will let the expert answer that. Last question, please.
Okay. Now, as you say, many people use group consciousness to be able to become aware and to learn fast. Are we able to tap into the consciousness of just people right around us in our just local area for present group consciousness to learn from?
Yes and no. Yes and no. The way that it works is the individuals around you have a lot of thought and static that is going on when they are going through the motions of the present. The interaction between other people creates the karmic situation, which gets recorded and held. It is no good seeing what was a few minutes ago and seeing how that affects, as it has not had the opportunity to be laid down and worked out in a correct pattern. So the behavior is affected in the now. Looking into the short-term Akashic group conscious records is limited in the fact that it is still growing. There are still facts occurring that leave you wondering. You see, it is like watching one of your entertainments, getting to an exciting bit, and then it stops. Mm-hmm. What happened? You don't know. So you see the problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll be back.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, yes. Expert time.
Okay, does Mongi plan?
Ew, so we're going to talk telepathically, are we? Yes, Mongi does. Mongi plans very carefully. Very, very carefully.
Really?
Part of Mongi's... horror? Okay. Part of horror is his thought process is, if I sit patiently and watch and wait and look sweet... they will stop and pick me up and make a fuss of me. If I climb up and look over the shoulder and make not a noise, not a sound, do not jump, do not dig my claws in, they will pick me up and make a fuss of me, and I will return the favor by making sub-vocal oscillations.
Well, that answers that question. Smart cat. Mm-hmm. I would put him right there in the sentinel quality then.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the mole said? That he sent here?
Borderline.
Mm-hmm. I think as Hrk grows, Hrk will be more sentient. Now, the most sentient cat in the house, who would you think that is?
Well, it'd be the little heavy-footed lady up there.
Yes.
The oldest cat in the house.
Why?
Eldest cat in the house, lived the longest, learned the most. And it's marked for an owner.
And who is the most manipulative cat in the house, which is thinking?
Manipulative, that is thinking. That has to be a little gadget here.
No.
No. Same one as upstairs?
Because she has Mark wrapped around her little claw.
I'll take your word for it. She doesn't have me wrapped around her claw, that's for sure.
Well, she's only concerned with one person.
Right.
So she manipulates that one person and has that one person wrapped around her little claw.
Okay.
Yes, I love you too, Mungi. Sorry. Huh. So you see, we have four felines in here now. We have lots of feline energy. Okay, in the sentient level, number one, number two, Ganja and Hara. Calvin number three, and self-centered, egotistical, acting on impulse and instinct, number four.
Okay.
We have a tie for second. Yes, all right. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. First of all, let us address your question.
Oh, yes, on Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to handle that? Do you want to put her in as, you know, what we did with her as Carrie? Do you want to pick up a name? Do you want to make it as a patient? Do you even want to put that whole section in?
Let's put that whole section in because it is a very good healing section.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. It's a great healing section, but I'm just a little iffy about the carry part.
Okay, we have two options. And the reason why you're suffering from confusion is because I'm suffering from confusion. Mm. One, we ask her. Or we put the patient.
Okay. Well, how about the patient?
The patient.
The patient. Name withheld to protect
the
individual's identity.
Correct.
There's too many people reading this page probably know who Carrie is.
Yeah. Maybe somebody does.
Maybe somebody does.
The option that we have is it ties in with a mole's thing.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Now my dissertation.
Okay.
Well, let me start by saying it's getting to that time of year. We have an interesting little problem occurring. Let us deal with group F. And this will tie in with the Baron's visit. Can you tell me what happened on a worldwide scale in 1918, that was of major significance.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
1918. Chicken pox.
Close.
Smallpox.
No. Drifting away.
Swine flu. Some cold.
Getting close.
Spanish flu.
Correct.
There was such thing called Spanish flu.
Yes. And it affected the whole world. It killed approximately 30 million individuals worldwide.
Spanish flu?
Mm-hmm. 1919.
Never heard of it before.
Okay. The Spanish flu was a very virulent flu epidemic or pandemic because it affected the whole entire world. There are certain circumstances which leave that as a possibility to occurring again. If there is the same mutation in the flu virus, the potential for a major catastrophic planet-wide disaster is there. How do you deal with a problem like that? Well, one thing is being inoculated.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a mutation that occurs and you are not inoculated against it, you are still susceptible. Now, how do you decrease your chances? Well, obviously, cleanliness plays into it. Taking every caution that you can to avoid getting it. One of the important things is diet. Such things as vitamin C, chicken, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. All these things help to decrease your chance. Being in good physical condition. It's been brought to my attention that Mark has a mild case of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been eating well. He's certainly in very, very great shape. Very good shape. So, these two factors, exercise and eating healthily, has decreased Mark's chance of getting a severe case of the flu. Having a mild form of flu is inoculation against that particular strain of flu. So, let us assume that you have an epidemic of a virus similar to the Spanish flu. Okay, being in good health decreases your chance. Eating well decreases your chance. Includes vitamin C, chicken soups, chicken broths, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, etc. Okay, cleanliness plays a major role. Avoiding contact with individuals that have the flu. Unfortunately, being a healer, you can't do that as much as you would like to. So, washing your hands after dealing with somebody that has the flu, or somebody that is coughing and spluttering, not standing too close. After all, the microbes only stay alive for approximately 90 seconds. So if you're far enough away that when they breathe out, the flu does not get to you. So standing a little bit further away when somebody is coughing and spluttering is very useful. Okay, do you have questions?
Yeah, could something like this really basically take out that much of the world population again, or do we have the increased medical facilities to deal with that?
You have the increased medical facilities to deal with it. But the question is, you have, let us say, the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is a virus that you have not prepared against. What do to stop it? Well, you create a vaccine. Okay, it is rampant. You have a worldwide alert for Spanish flu.
Right.
Who do you inoculate first?
The doctors?
Yes. Who else?
Mm-hmm. Police or soldiers necessary to maintain it, keep it in check.
Mm-hmm.
world leaders. And then the healthy population of, that can get in and get it done.
Okay. Do you inoculate children? Do you inoculate old people?
Yeah.
Do you inoculate medical personnel?
Absolutely.
But you only have a limited number of vaccines. Therefore, you have to make the decision. Certainly, doctors are high on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Medical personnel are high on the list. Police officers, military, they're lower on the list due to the fact that you have to decide who gets inoculated and who doesn't. Do children get inoculated? Do old people get inoculated?
Yeah.
See, I can't make those decisions. I can't make those calls on who should and who shouldn't. But you have a limited number. Let us say you have 500 vaccines and 2,000 people.
Right.
Who do you inoculate?
Well, pretty much in the order we just said. Health personnel to maintain the health. Police and soldiers to maintain order to get the vaccines to whoever else can. And but I'd say before the police and soldiers, I take the other medical personnel who are in charge of discovering, putting together more of the vaccine.
Good. Okay, now questions.
Okay. Why do you bring this up at this point?
You can't say.
Okay. We are getting flu vaccinations every winter. Is it best to keep up on the most current kinds? And what happens when society breaks down and we have to fend for ourselves?
Exactly. That's my point.
We don't want to make vaccines.
So what do you do?
Find people who can. Make sure they stay alive.
But I just told you how to increase your chances of getting flu.
Well, but it still doesn't mean you're not going to get it.
Correct. But it decreases your chances. And it makes your recovery that much easier.
Right.
You have to remember there are so many different types that you cannot be inoculated against all of them.
Right.
So therefore, it is a matter of decision.
True. Well, when that time comes, we'll see if I make a decision.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay. Bye. Frank. Okay. What's going on here?
It's a kiddie party.
And where do they all come into the channeling area?
Good energy, maybe.
I think so. Okay. Yes. Just had an idea. When we wrap down, to stop interfering with Mark's energy field, we better remove all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
Oh, well. Yo, dude. What's happening?
How you doing?
I think we've got enough tape there.
Yeah, I'm trying to save room on it for you.
Okay.
For the beast.
Yes, the beast. So did you enjoy my dissertation? My sister tells me that it was rather long-winded for you.
Which dissertation?
On Atlantis.
Oh, it wasn't that long-winded. It was just a solid typing.
Oh, okay. I think I will do that to you. Okay. To speed up on this, we have a guest speaker that has just shown up that would like to talk to you.
Okay.
And then, hut! Be seated.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Greetings, and how's it going?
It is functioning within specified parameters.
Okay, excellent.
Got that one in for Kiri.
Good job.
Okay. First of all, the first man to break sound barrier is now oldest man to break sound barrier at age of young 74. Did so today, I am witnessing.
Oh, Breedlove?
No.
No.
Oh, first man to break speed of sound. Who?
Armstrong or Jaeger.
Yes. Did again today.
Did he?
Yes. Now oldest man to break speed of sound.
For his anniversary?
Correct.
Oh, cool.
Well, not strictly true. Oldest pilot to break speed of sound.
Well, who broke it that wasn't a pilot?
Many people on transcontinental Delta Wing aircraft of mass transportation.
True. Concorde.
Correct. Okay. Dissertation on genetics concerning Mr. Jaeger. Chuck for ease. Okay. Little bit of history. Long, long, long time ago, before I was twinkle in parents' eyes. Before parents were twinkle in parents' eyes. And before genetic manipulation of my race. Individuals of great potential for avionics breed create first natural pilot born to fly. But limitations of body necessitate gene manipulation. But back to first born to fly person. Much like now on your work, dynasties of parents that fly. Believe Glennis Jaeger never pilot. Chuck, obviously good pilot. To be 74 of your years and fighter pilot and experimental pilot, got to be good. Daughter, Jeannie Jaeger. Now, possibly first of many natural pilots. Boyfriend, fly around world with her, name of what's his name?
Don't know.
Build aircraft that crash with non-natural pilot in area of coast over weekend. Never mind.
Yeah.
Research name later. He possibly natural pilot. Jeannie definitely natural pilot. Children of Jeannie, definitely natural pilot, no doubt. So, starting on your planet, natural pilot development. People of like mind enjoy flight, have offspring. Have more offspring. People that have fanaticism for flying pass fanaticism onto offspring. Offspring addicted hang with people of similar interests. Create the race. You see where it goes?
Mm-hmm. So into your race.
Correct. Now come problem. Development in craft. G-force, stamina, etc. Limitations of physical form. Now gene manipulation necessary. You see problem?
Yeah, but we're coming on to gene manipulation right now.
Ah, yes. Breeding of pilot race.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. Very possible.
For space travel, though.
Did not a light go off above your head?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, important to protect and look after people. Not just because my race wants like yours.
Yeah.
But because of future.
Right.
Need people like that. See?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Questions?
Okay. We had a couple incidences recently that I wanted to bring up. Maybe you could help me with.
Yes, here so I.
Okay. Apparently last week over the state, I believe, of Texas or someplace, there was a huge light in the sky of lit up the entire sky.
Not I.
No, of course not. But they said the next day it was a comet about the size of a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't find it, but it was just...
Of course. Meteor size of baseball burn up or scatter over wide area of limited population, possible long time to find, possible in body of water. Was it?
Right.
More than likely, yes.
Hmm.
We have to track and differentiate between what is natural and what is non-natural. Ground control do tracking. Cadets. One function of cadets is to monitor natural phenomena. To be able to say natural, not natural. Look for signatures.
Ah, okay. So they have a definite signature.
Correct.
Oh, okay. It just sounds like something that they would hide if they were going to do it. That'd be the way to do it.
Yes.
It was just a meteor. Of course it was.
And it was.
And it was. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Now, another thing is with Area 51.
Ah, yes.
I've heard two stories. One, that they've moved it. To, I think it's Colorado. And this, you know, everything that's there isn't there, which sounds like a lot of political smoke dragging there.
Mm-hmm.
Being as I saw the article in Science, and, News and Science or something.
Yes.
And the other thing is that a friend of mine was driving by there a while ago and saw a big bright light just totally lit up the entire sky from one end to the canyon. Mm-hmm. Desert from the other. And then something just kind of went racing by.
Yes.
So it looks like they're still testing.
Yes. Nellis, home of testing.
Right.
Groom Lake, testing of new aircraft. Move. New testing of new craft. Why move? Best way to say for moving from area of 51, yes, they have. And no, they have not.
Okay. Yeah, and there's still parts of the base that haven't been moved. And nobody leaves those parts.
You say that.
Right.
I do not.
No.
Clever, huh?
Very clever.
Make you think yourself.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Thank you, Tom.
Welcome. Here you have visit of guest speaker.
Mm-hmm. The Baron.
Yes. Matter come to discuss.
Okay.
Besides genetic and development.
Mm-hmm.
10th of 11th month. We do honorary guard with current Defense Force platoons.
Mm-hmm.
For returning heroes.
Oh, like his platoons.
Correct. Commanding officers can request guests to attend private ceremonies.
Hmm.
Would you like to? You may say no if you so wish.
No, I'd be happy to.
Okay. But think before accepting. We, early in morning, when platoons arrive,
okay,
would be of 2 a.m. Our time. Not sure what time yours.
4 a.m.
Also, guests stand in front with commanding officers. Act as
reception command?
No. Hold objects to be given to returning hero commanding officers.
Medals?
No. Big objects in cushion and on the cushion.
Not medals. Awards? Trophies,
rolled paper with wood, and also special short swords.
Oh, okay. So, I'm not sure what the Syrian word would be for it, but we'd use I guess diplomas would be one way, but that's not quite right. They're not graduating.
Do not know words.
Well, we'll figure it out. Just to
ask Cadet. Right. He know.
Okay.
Cadet is also a friend of yours and mine. I hear rumor has he get one strike soon.
Very soon.
Make him happy.
Yes, it will.
Now, having done second part of reason here, I go off.
Thank you, Tom. I shall be happy to attend.
Let us know next week on decision.
Okay, fair enough.
It's sad that Sarah had to go through what she did, but that is part of her cross to bear, is it, Beth?
Well, she did help out others.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to fulfill my promises. The last time that we talked about death, of course, that's much on our mind. We talked about rebirth and her conundrum. And her conundrum was that she wants to be my daughter. And how we were going to do that.
Yeah.
And also the fact that she wants to be rebirthed as soon as possible. Which leaves a few interesting problems.
The thing is that she's the one who'll figure that out.
Oh, yeah. At the moment, she's not in the waiting period. She is still waiting to be laid to rest.
So is she still hanging around?
Mm-hmm. Then she will go to the waiting area, which is normal in these circumstances of great trauma. that she feels that she hasn't quite finished and she needs to say goodbye. But she doesn't want to go too far away from her her shell, which is part of the reason she's going to be late for us where she is so that she can go and say goodbye to everybody and then leave from her shell.
She's hanging around the Hall of Leaving?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons I have to go down and change the flowers. I promised her to put fresh flowers every day.
That would explain a lot.
What do you mean?
Oh, I went down in the car.
Do tell.
One part of me said that she'd already left. The logical part. Part of me said that she's still there.
Yeah, she is. Which is fortunate for us. Due to the fact that we can get communication with her on what she's going to do, what she wants. It's something you'd have to grow up with to understand. The fact that she's waiting and she will accompany us on the final trip, and then she will do what she's got to do, say goodbye to everybody, and then she will go to the time of reviewing and waiting for a rebirth. Now, her problem that she's having difficulty understanding and is being helped with is the fact of when we discussed that she wanted to be my daughter, she wanted to follow in my footsteps. I said to her, do you want to be head librarian? And she goes, yes. And I said, do you know what that entails? And she goes, being able to be there all the time, to be in charge of the records, saying who can't, making all those decisions, learning them.